produce for those of you who want to know the reasons that you should not trust your government, that you should not trust your religion, that your religious, political, economic, and military affiliations are counterproductive, that all of those human institutions are corrupt. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, you even can call to challenge us if you would like to do so. Good luck with that. It's 877-300-7645. For those of you who are conspiracy buffs and think that the Large Hadron Collider in CERN is going to produce a mini black hole and swallow up the planet, it's time to wiggle, because it's working again. It has been reinitiated in the last couple of days and is back on the job. Sergio Brulowski, CERN's head of research, commented, "We have the best ship in the world. We have the best crew," he gloated. "Now we're ready to go on the next exploration."
Is that really something people fear?
Yeah, 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 it is. Oh, it's a big thing in conspiracy circles that the CERN collider is going to create a black hole, and that mini black hole is going to suck stuff in and ultimately swallow the planet.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah, I mean, amongst conspiracy theories, it is vastly better than chemtrails. I mean, it's vastly more credible than chemtrails. It's more credible than the, what is it, HARM, the that radar site in Alaska that is said to be changing weather patterns, and the of course chemtrails has the exhaust that, it's actually not even exhaust, it's just condensation because the air is warmer, and because the byproduct of combustion is water that comes out of the back of airplanes, is the government deliberately trying to poison us. That and, of course, the 9/11 conspiracies and what was it, Building 7 that they hang their hat on. I'd say all three of those are less credible than the CERN Hadron Collider.
To save myself a lot of trouble, I'm just going to remind people that you said that, not me. So you don't have to tell me anything on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't want to hear any of it. I don't care.
On the dumb scale, all four are dumb. All four are senseless, irrational craziness. But the one that is the least crazy of those crazy claims is actually the CERN collider. I think the likelihood of it creating a black hole and swallowing the planet is probably in the billions and trillions to one. I mean, remote so as to, I'll guarantee I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But I did think that when he was talking about having the best ship, the best crew, and we are now ready to go on the next voyage of discovery, that it, I couldn't miss the fact that I think we have the best ship. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. I think we have the best crew. It's called the Covenant Family. And we get to go on a voyage of discovery, not with Sergio, but with Yanoa. And our limitations are not just banging tiny little particles together. We get to go see everything from here to there and back again. So, anyway, I just thought that man's hubris was entertaining. For 30 days, then he went on to talk about the fact that that one of the first supersymmetric particles, because supersymmetry now is the holy grail of science in terms of trying to come up with a uniform theory of how things work. And the best they've come up with now is called supersymmetric particles that are part of supersymmetry. One of these supersymmetric particles they're trying to detect is the Gluino. Another novel addition to what this article says is the zoo of cosmic building blocks, which might be partly responsible, they say, for dark matter, which makes up some 27% of the universe. You know, dark matter, we have got no idea what it is. 27% of the universe. And there's therefore about five times more dark matter than there is actual matter in the universe. And, in fact, five times more dark matter and energy than there is in the entire universe. And then, of course, the most of the universe is made up of what's called dark energy, which is repulsive in nature. And they don't know what that is either. But they're saying that if they could ever find this Gluino, then maybe, just maybe, it might help them at least understand what's responsible for dark matter, even if they can't actually describe it. Dark matter is expected to be invisible at the subatomic level as well as on the astronomical scale. Now, if something is invisible on the astronomical scale and it's invisible on the subatomic scale, wouldn't you just be able to say that dark matter is invisible? What other scales are there? We have the cosmic scale of the universe, and we have the subatomic scale of the things that make up the elements and the energy in the universe. So what other scale is there? Is there the imaginary scale? Well, it is invisible on all scales that we're capable of understanding. I suspect that it's invisible. Just as if you were in Flatland, a two-dimensional construct, you would find everything in the third dimension that's three-dimensional invisible to you. And so I suspect that that's the reason why it's invisible, as I suspect that dark matter and dark energy are the fifth and sixth dimensions, just as time is the fourth dimension. And therefore, since it is in a dimension that is beyond us, I don't think there's any way to ever be able to see it. Anyway, they're thinking that because it's invisible on all levels, physicists will have to look for indirect evidence of its production. One of the key signs that dark matter may have been generated is an apparent imbalance in the momentum before and after a particle collision known as missing transverse energy. So when, you know, there's supposed to be no that nothing in terms of matter and energy can actually be destroyed. It's transferred from one form to another. Energy can be transferred into matter, matter transferred into to energy. But the net is identical once you're done. The energy isn't destroyable, and matter is convertible into energy, but ultimately energy cannot be destroyed. So when we do these collisions, there is a quotient of energy that's unaccounted for. And so they're saying maybe that's the stuff of dark matter. If you see a signature that the Large Hadron Collider, which can't be explained by the standard model physics, that's perhaps telling you that you're turning normal matter into dark matter. Well, these guys are really projecting out there on the extreme. So if they're saying if they see something that they can't explain, then it explains something that they cannot see. I mean, talk about climbing and getting twisted in the rabbit hole. So if something that you see is not explained by your theory. Rather than your theory being wrong, it's explaining something that you cannot see. How's that for twisted logic? And these are scientists. If that's the case, the Large Hadron Collider would be acting as a dark matter factory, which is a really neat idea, said Dan Tovey of the center. Oh, talk about sad. In February of this year. Oh, February this year. March, April, May. That was, 90 days ago? Yeah, 90 days ago. The director and for National Intelligence, this is the perjurer-in-chief of the United States, James Clapper, told Congress that he thought that it was possible that on the very outside that the Islamic State, which he didn't even call the Islamic State, could muster somewhere in the range between 20,000 and 32,000 fighters. but there had been substantial attrition in its ranks. Now, attrition means they have diminished in number. And this was the same guy that gave an assessment just a few months before that, that they were 10 to 20,000 strong. And now they're 20 to 32,000 strong, and he calls that attrition. And now he claims, his government claims, that they've killed 10,000 of them. So they were 10 to 20,000 strong. We've killed 10,000 of them, and now they're 20 to 30,000 strong. Is what kind of math is that? And how is growing in size attrition? I swear, we have got to have the dumbest people. Talk about oxymorons. He is the director for national intelligence. And he's an idiot. No, the perjurer in chief, the man that said, no, your government, your NSA is not spying on Americans. He told Congress there is absolutely no bulk collection of data on Americans. Boom. A week later, Snowden released the files. Oops. Well, I lied. That's called perjury when your sworn testimony is to Congress. Separately on Wednesday, the Iraqi ambassador to France, Fareed Yassin, welcomed the U.S. decision to send 2,000 AT-4 missiles for use against armored suicide truck bombs, which helped weaken and demoralize government forces in Ramadi. Great, we're sending them missiles. Now, who we're sending missiles to? The Iranians? Shiite Muslims? And I would like you to tell me, when if you have a truck that's driving down the street, how are you going to tell that truck is filled with civilians, with militants, with a suicide bomber? How is that missile going to do you any good before you've determined who's in the truck? What's the purpose of the truck? It could be the taco truck. We're crying out loud. Well, during the break, Scott looked up Hadrian, Large Hadrian Collider, Black Hole Theory, and even saw a Times article saying that people are predicting it's going to cause the end of the world as we know it. And the reason I didn't just poo-poo that thought entirely is that the Large Hadrian Collider is capable of creating a super mini, super tiny, tiny, tiny black hole. I mean, it is theoretically possible, although chances are extremely remote. But, you know, a black hole to be meaningful has to be massive. You know, if black holes are typically created when stars larger than our sun ultimately die and collapse. And so if you were dealing with something more massive than our sun, then perhaps we should be concerned. But the Large Hadron Collider might be large in the sense of its diameter, but it's working with particles that are stunningly tiny. So yeah, you can sleep tonight, Scott.
Oh, thank God.
But here's something. Talk about stupid. Here's the United States providing 2,000 missiles that are designed to, at long range, to blow up armored personnel carriers. And the French are going to send another 2,000 missiles that are also designed to blow up armored personnel carriers. Now, I want you to walk through with me why that is unbelievably stupid. Now, the people we're giving them to are Shiite militias. It was the Shiite militias that were by far the most ruthless against America when we invaded Iraq. It was the Shiite militias that deployed the improvised explosive devices in the roads. It was Shiite militias that had snipers on rooftops that shot American transport convoys as they went through the towns. It was the Shiite militias that stripped Americans naked and tortured them in public. the by far, overwhelmingly, the harm perpetrated and directed towards American troops and armored personnel carriers in Iraq was foisted upon them by Shiite militias. Now we're giving those Shiite militias, rather than having to use improvised explosive devices, now we're giving them 4,000 armor-piercing missiles. And at the same time, we're discussing whether or not we should send ground troops into Iraq because the Shiite militias are no match for the Sunni militias.
Is this the same Iraqi militia that just lost 2,300 Humvees, a bunch of 175 M1A1 Abrams tanks,
yes,
55,000 rounds of tank ammunition, $600 million in howitzers and trucks, $700 million worth of Hellfire missiles, and 2,000 AT-4 rockets.
And who did they lose them to?
Well, they lost them to ISIS, and that's why. And
right,
and that's
they lost them to the Islamic State. Who gave them those weapons?
We did.
The United States, and where are those weapons now?
They're with ISIS.
So, when we now are going to give them 4,000 armor-piercing missiles, who's going to end up with them?
The same people that have the Humvee in there.
I mean, I swear. Uh-huh. The United States of America, at a governmental, intelligence, and military level, has got to be the dumbest cadre of characters this planet has ever put in positions of power.
My favorite is that they didn't lose these. They didn't lose all this stuff because they put up a fight and they were beat. They lost this stuff because they ran away.
Correct.
They ran away.
No, they just ran away. No.
They had 175 M1A1 Abrams tanks going up against 1985 Toyotas, and they ran away.
There you go. So, the solution to that, according to America's hawks, is to send America's troops in. That's what's being discussed right now in Congress, is sending American troops in to do away with the Islamic State. Now, they have acknowledged that they cannot nation build. We have acknowledged, finally admitted, that we cannot nation build in Iraq, and there's no chance that we can leave Iraq whole, leave Iraq safe, leave Iraq peaceful, leave Iraq glued back together. That there is no chance that once we leave, that Iraq will be any better than it is right now. But we say that if we send in American troops, that we could fight these rascals. Great. And whose weapons will those rascals be deploying? American? And rather than improvised explosive devices, now they're shooting armor-piercing missiles against them? Against our vehicles? Oh, that sounds really smart, doesn't it? Good grief, we're stupid. Yes, indeed. We're talking about putting boots back on the ground in Iraq, and at the same time, we're shipping them 4,000 anti-tank, anti-armored personnel carrier rounds. Now, we're doing this because suicide bombers from the Islamic State terrified the Shiite militias with those driving, by the way, armored personnel carriers. Now, I would ask you, Scott, is there any manufacturing plant that designs and produces armored personnel carriers in western Iraq and in eastern Syria?
I'm going to have to say no.
No, that would be your final answer, no?
I'm going to go with no.
You're going to go with no. So when the Islamic State turned armored personnel carriers into suicide bombers, whose were they driving?
Ours.
Ours.
We gave them away. We gave them to Iraq, so they were driving Iraqs.
Well, ours, right?
They were driving.
I mean, the only difference between ours and Iraqs is that on the ones that we gave to Iraq, we put on the slogan, Allahu Akbar.
Did we really?
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah. We stencil them all with Allahu Akbar. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. All the weapon systems that we gave to Iraq, we stenciled on Allahu Akbar. Yeah, America is such a Christian nation.
I'm going to go throw up. I'll be back.
So, since that worked out so well, since the Islamic State now has hundreds of tanks, hundreds upon hundreds of armored personnel carriers, they have artillery, they have more ammunition, more shells for the artillery than they could shoot in half a lifetime. They have all manner of Hellfire missiles and surface-to-air missiles. That now the solution to all of that is to give the people who gave them these weapons shoulder-fired anti-tank, anti-armored personnel missiles, 4,000 of them. I mean, you couldn't make up something as stupid. If you were to say, all right, how did America destroy itself? If I were to have presented this as the plot and said, well, America invaded Iraq on a pile of lies. They claimed that Iraq was developing a nuclear bomb and that it had weapons of mass destruction, and therefore they needed to go nation build in Iraq and turn Iraq into a democracy. And that ended up creating a civil war in Iraq that gave birth to the Islamic State, where America then armed the Shiite militias that had inflicted the greatest carnage on them to attack and hold off the Sunni militias that were created as a result of the invasion, and that collectively both sides were wielding American weapons. Who would believe that? Do you think you could sell that as a plot to a movie? I mean, you're better off trying to sell Star Wars of intergalactic fighting. It's more credible. Heck, if you could sell that, you could sell a movie on the nation poisons its people through chemtrails. I mean, good grief. Okay. This next story is really sad. It is perverted. It is describing America's CIA. And I want you, as we read through this story, I want you to see the faces of George Bush, of Dick Cheney, and of Condoleezza Rice. It is the three of those who authorized what you're going to hear. George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice. This was their idea. They authorized it. New York Reuters. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency used a wider array of sexual abuse and other forms of torture than was disclosed in a Senate report last year, according to Guantanamo Bay detainees turned government cooperating witnesses. Majid Khan said interrogators poured ice water on his genitals, twice videotaped him naked, and repeatedly touched his private parts, none of which was described in the Senate report. Interrogators, some of whom smelled of alcohol, also threatened to beat his genitals with a hammer, with baseball bats, sticks, and leather belts. Khan is the first publicly released account from a high-value al-Qaeda detainee who experienced the, quote, enhanced interrogation techniques that were later admitted in documented files by the U.S. government, by the Bush administration, by Dick Cheney, that was used by the president, George W. Bush administration, after 9/11. Khan's account is contained in 27, I mean, he is credible because he was the first to explain exactly what the U.S. government later admitted and Dick Cheney bragged about. Khan's account is contained in 27 pages of interview notes his lawyers compiled over the past 7 years. The U.S. government cleared the notes for release last month through a formal review process. In the interviews with his lawyers, Khan described a carnival-like atmosphere of abuse when he arrived at the CIA detention facility. It tells you just how morally depraved the CIA officers are. "I wish they had killed me," Khan told his lawyers. He said that he experienced excruciating pain when hung naked from poles and that guards repeatedly held his head under ice water. "Son, we're going to take care of you," Khan said his interrogators told him. "We're going to send you up to a place you cannot even imagine." Perverted. And they are paid for. They represent the United States of America. Current and former CIA officials declined to comment on Khan's account. Years before the report was released, Khan complained to his lawyers that he had been subjected to forced rectal feedings. Senate investigators found internal CIA documents confirming that Khan had received involuntary rectal feeding and rectal hydration. In an incident widely reported in the news media, after the release of the Senate investigation, CIA cables showed that Khan's lunch tray, consisting of hummus, pasta with sauce, nuts, and raisin, was pureed and then rectally infused. In other words, this is now the second time that Khan has released something that is beyond imagination in forms of torture, of perverted sexual torture. And it's been affirmed in internal CIA documents that have been released now and made public. He's not making this stuff up, folks. The CIA maintains that rectal feedings were necessary after Khan went on a hunger strike and pulled out the tube that had been put through his nose. Senate investigators said that Khan was cooperative, that he did not remove the feeding tube. Double lie. Khan told his lawyers that some of the worst torture, by the way, I should tell you that medical experts all concur, they're unanimous. Rectal feeding is of zero therapeutic value. It has absolutely no value whatsoever in terms of keeping a person who is on a hunger strike alive. No value. It's rape. It's sodomy being perpetrated by the U.S. government and its CIA. And you think, as the President of the United States claims and that senators like John McClown of Arizona claim, that the CIA and the NSA are keeping you safe? I want to tell you, those who torture put all of us at risk. There is absolutely no benefit whatsoever to torture, and it is morally depraved. And when it involves sexual perversion, it is beyond despicable. Khan told his lawyers that the worst torture occurred in May 2003. During an interrogation session when guards stripped him naked, hung him from a wooden beam for 3 days, and provided him with water but no food. The only time he was removed from the beam was on the afternoon of the first day when interrogators shackled him, placed a hood over his head, and lowered him into a tub of ice water and held him there. An interrogator then forced Khan's head underwater until he thought he would drown. The questioner pulled Khan's head out of the water, demanded answers to questions, and then dunked his head underwater again. Guards poured ice water from a bucket into Khan's mouth and nose. We are disgusting, folks. If you're patriotic, there is something seriously wrong with you. Colin told his lawyers that some of the worst torture occurred in May 2003. I'm sure I've doubled that that segment of this article. I apologize. Khan was again hung on the pole, hooded and naked. Every two or three hours, interrogators hurled ice water at his body and set up a fan to blow air on him. I mean, can you imagine the chill factor that's associated with that? And when you are exposed to hypothermia like that, the body mentally just shuts down. I mean, you'll begin to hallucinate. I mean, in this case, he said he was thinking he was seeing a cow and a giant lizard. I mean, this is not helpful. In July 2003, Khan said CIA guards hooded him from a metal pole for several days and then repeatedly poured ice water down his mouth, into his nose, and on his genitals. At one point, they said they forced him to sit naked on a wooden box during a 15-minute videotaped interrogation. He was shackled to the wall, which prevented him from sleeping. When a doctor arrived to check on his condition, Khan begged for help. Instead, Khan said, the doctor instructed the guards to again hang him from the metal bar. After hanging from a pole for 24 hours, Khan was forced to write a confession while being videotaped naked. Khan's account also includes previously undisclosed forms of alleged CIA abuse. According to experts, Khan said that his feet and lower legs were placed in tall boot-like metal cuffs that dug into his flesh and immobilized his legs. This really sounds like the Inquisition. Have you ever been to the torture tools used by the Roman Catholic Church? That's exactly what this sounds like. He said that he felt that his legs would break if he fell forward while restrained by the cuffs. Khan is not one of the three people whom current and former CIA officials say interrogators were authorized to waterboard, whereby water is poured over a cloth covering the detainee's face to create the sensation of drowning. Nor is he the fourth detainee whose waterboarding was documented by Human Rights Watch in 2012. His descriptions, however, match those of other detainees who alleged that they were subjected to unauthorized interrogation techniques using water. Human rights groups say that the use of ice water in dousing and forced submersions is indeed torture. Khan's account also includes details that match those of lower-level detainees who have described their own interrogations. Like other prisoners, Khan said that he was held in complete darkness and isolated from other prisoners for very long periods of time. He was deprived of sleep, and his captors kept the lights on in his cell and then blared loud music from American rock groups. Other prisoners said that they were often held in small, coffin-shaped boxes. If you think this is appropriate, as does Dick Cheney, as did George W. Bush, as did Condoleezza Rice, then you are as revolting as they are. If you think this is appropriate, under any circumstances, no matter who it is being done to, then you're a savage. Those who did it in the CIA, those who authorized it at the highest levels of the U.S. government, they are savages. They ought to be indicted. They ought to be tried. They ought to be convicted. This is not legal. It's in direct violation of the U.S. Constitution. Cruel and unusual treatment. It is in direct violation of international law. It's in direct violation of all civility and decency. It is grotesquely immoral, repulsive, perverted, and worse. And by the way, There is a detainee that we've talked about a number of times on this program. He was picked up in I believe it was Macedonia. And he pled his case in the international courts in Europe about how the CIA picked him up and then sodomized him. You know, did all of these kind of things and worse. They shoved broomsticks up his behind. And that they would sodomize him for hours and hours and hours. Over a course of a year before finally admitting that, oh, they picked up the wrong person. It was a confusion over his name. And just dumped him on the street. It's been proven, folks. Not making this stuff up. This is what we have become. This is who we are. And we're no better than those we're fighting. Here's that continuation of the story that we were covering on the Syrian boy, 14 years old, who was tortured by the Islamic State. He said, first, for 30 days we woke up and jogged, and we focused on learning the Quran and hadith of the Prophet. The hadith, he said, is a collection of teachings from the Prophet. Then we took courses on weapons and other light military stuff. But if they were not happy with our training, our education, they would torture us. Footage filmed by a defector from the jihadist group shows the boy being beaten while he hangs from his wrists. Reminds me of the CIA, doesn't it? How are we to condemn that when we have done exactly the same thing? We will return to this story tomorrow, because I want to discuss it with our good friend, IQ Al-Rasuli.